It'll drive them crazy. Go ahead and do that. I guarantee you. I've got results for that. Yeah, okay. Now, it goes on like this. Drinking isolates most homes from the outside world. Father may laid aside for many years are normal activities, clubs, civic duties, and sports. And I know normal and the alcoholic don't go together. They said normal is a setting on a washer or dryer. I don't know if that's true or not. But anyhow, it says, when he renews interest in such things, a feeling of jealousy may arise. The family may feel they hold a mortgage on dad so big that no equity should be left for outsiders. Instead of developing new channels of activity for themselves and mother, children demand that he stay home and make up deficiencies. Uh-oh, I see another problem coming up. Okay, and it goes on to say this. At the very beginning, the couple ought to frankly face the fact that each will have to yield here and there if the family is going to play an effective part in the new life. So obviously, we need to practice these principles, both sides of the ball, if you will. Okay, now it goes on to say, Father will necessarily spend much time with other alcoholics, but this activity should be balanced. I'm going to say that again, if everybody's going to 20 meetings a week, and you're never home, and you have a wife, or you have a husband, or you have loved ones or kids, is that balanced? Proverbial balance, whatever that is. I suppose that's why we have a Webster dictionary. I'll let you look that up. So, new acquaintances who know nothing about alcoholism might be made in thoughtful consideration given their needs. The problems of the community might engage attention. Though the family has no religious connections, they may wish to make contact or take membership with a religious body. Oh, I suppose that is what he says on page 87. What does he say on 87 about that? Second to last paragraph. And it says, if circumstances warrant, we ask our wives, friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires definite morning devotion, we attend to that. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set of prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. That means non-conference approved, y'all. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer. Oh, he just got done telling us that, didn't he? Okay, yeah, so. Now, it goes on. Alcoholics who have derided religious people will be helpful by such contacts. Being possessed of a spiritual experience. How do we get that? Oh, yeah. As the result of the 11 steps before that, okay? The alcoholic will find he has much in common with these people. Obviously, the much in common is God. We have more in common than we have differences. Remember when he was talking about the purpose on there? Remember, we have a primary purpose. We have the singleness purpose. We have the purpose of this book on page 20. Obviously, on page 77, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be the maximum service of God and those people about us. A lot of purposes in this book. A lot of purposes in recovery from alcoholism. And it says, though he may differ with them on many matters, if he does not argue about religion, he will make new friends, and he is sure to find new avenues of usefulness and pleasure. That's outside of the fellowship, y'all. It says, he and his family can be a bright spot in such congregations. He may bring new hope and new courage to many a priest, minister, and rabbi who gives his all to minister to our troubled world. Oh, is that what you were saying earlier, where we have the key to avoid death and misery? I get it. So it's not only in here, y'all. It's in the outside world. There's a lot of people out there, non-alcoholics, that can use what we got. That's a spiritual awakening, spiritual experience, practicing these principles in all our affairs. Do yourself a favor if you haven't. Do it. You will be absolutely amazed. Oh, that's right. For the rest of our life, and insist on giving away the entire product. Okay, not just in here, but it's out there too. Okay, now it goes on to say, we intend the foregoing to be a helpful suggestion. Obviously, on page 87, we talked about that once again. So as far as we are concerned, there's nothing obligatory about it. As non-denominational people, we cannot make up others' minds for them. Each individual should consult his own conscience. Okay. Eight set of problems coming up. We've been speaking to you of serious, sometimes tragic things. But we've been dealing with alcohol and it's worth respect. I love this next sentence. We are not a glum lot. And I told you, this isn't hospice where we hold each other's hands and wait till we die one day at a time. If that's the kind of fellowship, if that's the kind of meetings you're going to, let me know how it works for you, okay? All right, that's not what we are. We're not a glum lot. Here's why. If newcomers couldn't see the joy, the fun of our existence, they wouldn't want it. I love this next one, too. We absolutely insist on enjoying life. Oh, that's right. We are reborn. That's what he said in the narrative of the third step. Oh, that's right. In the doctor's opinion, he said we're recreating our lives. Everything that we've talked about is coming alive. Look at where this is at, okay? Look at the family afterwards. These are our directions. Well, powerful on that. We try not to indulge the cynicism over the state of the nations, nor do we try to carry the world's troubles on our shoulders. When we see a man sinking in the mire of alcoholism, we give him first aid and place what we have at his disposal. What do we got? We got this book, these steps, and our experience. That's what we got. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Okay? And it says, for his sake, we do not recount, almost relive the horrors of the past, but those of us who have tried to shoulder the entire burden of trouble of others find we are soon overcome by them. So don't get caught up with the mess of the world. And you know what? You can carry the message and not the mess, okay? Obviously, don't have the right to deprive anybody of their pain and misery, nor do I want to. Sounds cool to say. A lot of times you got to let the clown finish their act. I tell a lot of them, if that's all you're drinking did, I'd still be out there drinking what I'm saying, what they give in to AA, because it must have not been that bad. So when you're done, when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, we have what you need. This book, these 12 steps, spiritual awakening, spiritual experience, your own conception of God. So he goes on to say, those of us tried to shoulder the entire burden and trouble of others soon find we're overcome by them. So we think cheerfulness and laughter make for usefulness. So in other words, if you're not cheerful, if you're grumpy and you never laugh, then you will be useless. Okay, got it. Outsiders are sometimes shocked when we burst in merriment over a seemingly tragic experience out of the past. We talked about that. But why shouldn't we laugh? Because like I said, when we laugh at it, we've recovered. We have the power to help others, obviously avert death and misery. Once I laugh at it, it's no longer got the power to control. Okay? Boy, I bet you that really makes them mad. Okay? And here's why we shouldn't laugh. We have recovered! Not recovering, we have recovered. You better believe it. I've been to hell. Anything else? I mean, right? Been to hell? Why aren't you going to laugh? My God. Because I cried enough, no more. We have recovered, and here it is, and given the power to help others. Uh-oh. So that means God's going to use me to help them. It didn't say to get you sober. It said to help you, okay? It didn't say for me to cure you, for me to help. But that's an obligation and responsibility of this, remember? Insist on giving away the entire load. Here it is right there. Okay, now, I love this next one. Everybody knows those in bad health. There's different kinds of health. Physical health, mental health, emotional health, spiritual health. We're talking about the whole thing. There isn't boxes inside of a human. That's the whole total package, okay? In bad health. And those who seldom play do not laugh much. So if you ain't laughing enough, better check our health, and I better go out and play. Yeah, okay? So let each family play together or separately as much as our circumstances warrant. I love this next one. We are sure, not guessing, we are sure God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. That's a trifecta of recovery. Remember, we were restless, irritable, discontent. do the deal, you become happy, joyous, and free. Which side of the bottle do you want to be on, right? Okay, now we're talking recovery there, okay? We cannot subscribe to the belief that this life is a veil of tears, though it was just once for that many of us. Now, if I'm miserable and something's going on in my life, I don't give a what it is. Here's why, and here's the problem right here, okay? And it says, oh, it was that way just for many of us, but it's clear that we made our own misery. God didn't do it. You ain't that important. God's not going to pick on you. I got news for you. Yeah. Can you imagine? God did that to me. I said, what? What did you just say? Yeah. Okay. God didn't do it. Here's what it is. Avoid, then, the deliberate manufacture of misery. God, I hate when that happens. So I can't, but if I'm miserable, if I've got misery, then I made it. Deliberately or unconsciously. Okay, now listen to that. Okay, but if trouble comes, cheerfully capitalize it as an opportunity to demonstrate His omnipotence. So if you're miserable, if you got problems, you got whatever, I got news for you. God's got all the knowledge, He's got all the power, He's got all the grace, He's got all the mercy. It's just a matter of tapping into it. Remember the sixth sense. Remember all everything that we talked about is coming alive tonight. Now about health. Okay, remember the different levels of health, okay? A body badly burned by alcohol, I'll say that quickly, by alcohol does not often recover, okay, overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in twinkling. You notice how he covered it all? Talked about the body, talked about the mind, and he talked about the soul. The total package of health, okay? So in other words, it's not going to vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode, not religious, mode of living, not drinking, we're talking about the 12 steps here, a most powerful health restorative, body, mind, and soul. Okay, powerful, powerful, powerful. Oh, that's a trifecta there too. Okay, we who have recovered, not recovering, from serious drinking are miracles of mental health, but we have seen some remarkable transformations in our bodies, okay? Hardly one of the crowd shows any mark of dissipation, okay? Obviously, dissipation is, what is that? It is, obviously, we're talking about on twisted thinking, depression, signs of sobriety, or untreated alcoholism. Dissipation, obviously, is not a good thing. It is tearing you from the floor up. Okay, now, I love this next part of it. Here's what it is. To dissipate is to scatter, to make disappear, to waste or squander, to vanish, to indulge in pleasures to the point of harming oneself. A lot of dissipators in this room, okay. All right, now, goes on to this. So many people will take this and twist it when it's coming up here. Just going to read what it says in the book. But this does not mean we disregard human health measures. God has abundantly supplied this world with fine doctors, psychologists, and practitioners of various kinds. Do not hesitate to take your health problems, plural, body, mind, and soul, to such persons. Most of them give freely that their fellows may enjoy sound minds and bodies. Try to remember that though God has wrought miracles among us, we should never belittle a good doctor or psychiatrist. Their services are often indispensable in treating a newcomer and in following their cases afterwards. What is a newcomer? A newcomer can be somebody in here 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years that put the plug in the jug, and I'm so damn happy I can hardly stand it. They're a wreck. They're a wreck physically. They're a wreck mentally. They're a wreck emotionally, and they're a wreck spiritually. That's what a newcomer is, and guess what? We talked about it earlier. Physical exercises don't treat a sickened soul. Physical exercises don't treat a sick mind. I've got to get the right medicine for the right illness, and I will not get better. Now listen to what he says on there, and I'm not saying anything other than what the book just said. the manifestations or the indications of sobriety or untreated alcoholism, if you're not careful who you're going to, can be misdiagnosed as something else. And you could be getting treatment for a sickened spirit through a chemical, and that ain't going to get it. I need to get my spirit treated spiritually, and it's not going to come from a chemical. And I understand there are physical things where you need chemical. That's not what I'm saying. Right illness for the right thing. In other words, a pill cannot increase what's called the good cholesterol. You know the only way you get good cholesterol, build up? Exercise. That's the only way. Science hasn't done that. That is the only way to get that. That's exactly what I'm talking about, and it's the same thing with my sickened spirit. A pill cannot treat a spiritual malady. There is no substitute for God. That's all that I'm saying with that, and go where you need to go with the illness where you're going. So it goes on to say, one of our many doctors who have had the opportunity of reading this book in manuscript form told us the use of sweets was helpful, of course, depending on doctor's advice. That's why I'm allowed to eat all the chocolate I want. I love it, man. Okay, yeah. You girls aren't the only ones that are fiends. Yeah, I got it. Okay, so, all right, come on now. Yeah, so, obviously it says, he thought all alcoholics should be constantly have chocolate available for quick energy value at times of fatigue. He added that occasionally the night craving arose, which would be satisfied by candy. Well, that's not the kind of cravings I have at night, but a different story for a different day. Sorry about that. Many of us have noticed a tendency to eat sweets and found this practice beneficial. Number 10 problem. Now worried about sex relations, and that's why they put it in the chapter, because everybody's about falling out, okay? Alcohol is so sexually stimulating to some men that they have overindulged. Couples are occasionally dismayed to find that when drinking is stopped, the man tends to be impotent. That doesn't mean you get a promotion or you got a job or a business card or anything like that. Talk to your sponsor, okay? No. No. Especially this day and age is with, well, that's right, with the, yeah, well, yeah, okay. Did you know, by the way, that was a side of effect? That's not what Viagra and Cialis and all that, that wasn't made for those type of things. It was made for some other type of medical condition, but they found that was a side effect or a byproduct of that. Now they're all millionaires, what the hell? So anyhow, yeah. So, yeah, so what I'm saying is, Go to your chemistry and start inventing pills. So go ahead. All right, so impotent. Yeah, that's right. Okay, unless the reason is understood, there may be some emotional upset. I could imagine so. Some of us had this experience only to enjoy in a few months a finer intimacy than ever. There should be no hesitancy in consulting a doctor or psychologist if this condition persists. We do not know of many cases where this difficulty lasted long. After 4 hours, seek medical attention. That's what it says on TV. It's always on the, I watch a lot of sports. And you cannot watch a game without seeing one of those commercials. Let's see. 4 hours. Let me see. Whoa, okay. Okay, 4 hours. How many minutes is that? Okay, all right. Come on, y'all. We're almost done. Yeah, we're almost there. Okay. All right, let's see. Oh, problem number 11. That's right. We get stalled on 10. The alcohol may find hard to reestablish friendly relations with his children. Their young minds were impressionable while drinking. Without saying so, they may cordially hate him for what he's done to them and their mother. That's power there. Not a lot of good power, but that's what we do to them and family afterwards. I mean, that's pretty powerful. But you'll be surprised anyhow. And it goes on to say this, okay? The children are sometimes dominated by pathetic hardness and cynicism. My God, they're talking about cordial hate. We're talking about pathetic hardness and cynicism. They cannot seem to forgive and forget. They may hang on for months long after their mother has accepted dad's new way of living. Obviously, we're talking about a long time, new way of life, and thinking. In time, uh-oh, that word again, they will see that he is a new man, and in their own way will let him know it. When this happens, they can be invited to join morning meditation, and they can take part in their daily discussions without rancor or bias. Rancor is continuing bitter hate or ill will, And obviously, we talk about what we've done to our children, hate, hardness, and cynicism, okay? From this point on, progress will be rapid. Marvelous results will follow such a reunion. Tell you a personal thing, and we're just about done. About the kids, obviously the girls were 3 and 4 when I got sober, 7 and 9. Fine ladies and gentlemen, and I've maybe told this year I didn't or not, but was one of the most moving things about our daughters. They both found their loves of their lives and decided to get married. They both decided to get married in June. And the first question they asked before they set their date, the most important life, most important day in their life, they said, "Dad, when is Founders Day weekend? Because we don't want to interrupt that." Now, that's power, and that's recovery from when they were helpless and hopeless or whatever, and they realized they get it. They broke the code, and it just blew my mind, just absolutely blew my mind. In other words, the family afterwards, what we're talking about like that, it isn't black words on a white page in a blue book. God's blessed us in our family where it's the whole family thing. It was destroyed. Alcohol and alcoholism just shattered that. I mean, just beyond. It was like a plane wreck. I mean, just not even fragments. Everybody's life was destroyed. God, Alcoholics Anonymous, and those 12 steps have reunited that family in a bond that has never been before, and it's just absolutely an incredible thing to be a part of, and that's just one of the few stories about that. So anyhow, he goes on to say, marvelous results will often follow such a reunion. Whether a family goes on a spiritual basis or not religious basis, the alcoholic member has to, not should, could, ought to, if he would recover. The others must, not should, could, ought to, be convinced of his new status, recovery, beyond the shadow of a doubt, seeing, we saw that, okay, seeing is believing for most families who's lived with a drinker, okay, and that's 12 set of problems. Now he goes on and he's going to send us off. Here a case in one point. One of our friends, it happens to be Earl Treat, and his story is sold himself short. He's the guy from Chicago who wrote the short form of our 12 traditions. So this guy's an important part of this book. Anyhow, one of our friends is a heavy smoker and coffee drinker. There's little doubt that he overindulged. Seeing this and meaning to be helpful, his wife commenced to admonish him about it. He admitted he was overdoing things, but quite frankly said he was not ready to stop. His wife is one of those persons who really feels there's something rather sinful about these commodities, so she nagged. And her intolerance finally threw him the fit of anger. Uh-oh, and he got drunk. Okay, now I get it. Our friend, of course, was wrong. Dead wrong. He painfully admit he had to painfully admit that and mend his spiritual fences. Okay, not apologize, not to say sorry, but mend or repair. Okay, not though he is now the most effective member of Alcoholics Anonymous, he still smokes and drinks coffee, but neither his wife nor anyone else stands in judgment. By the way, you can't judge a book by its cover. God, I'm learning that in this old age. And you know what? Whatever standards you're judging people with, I got news for you. They're judging you equally or even higher standards than that. So it's that old thing. I suppose that other book says judge not and be not judged. I think that's what it says. Absolutely fascinating concept, huh? It says, she sees as you was in the wrong to make a burning issue out of such a matter when his more serious ailments were being cured. Not his alcoholism, but his signs of alcohol, untreated alcoholism, selfish dishonesty, resentment, and fear. That's what's being cured. Listen to where he hid this, Alkies, in the family afterwards. And we love to throw these around. We have three little mottos which are appropriate, and that is at the right time, opportunity, relevant, in connection with. And here they are. First things first, live and let live, easy does it. So three slogans of AA, obviously he's hit them in the family afterwards. So, 6 times he mentions it takes a long time, obviously for family recovery, long time, we're talking about years to lifetime. And you know what's odd about this chapter? He only mentioned the book 1 time, and it was that little story about the doctor who read the manuscript and prescribed us chocolates, obviously. But he listed 12 sets of problems. Now, you will see some numbers up here, and I think it's important to bring these out. This number 10, you know what that is? That's about argument and argue. If you want them on page 77, 102, 126, 132. That's about Don't Argue. It talks about argument six times, 1967, 98, 115, 127, 129. Better give up a new hobby. In other words, 10 times. Don't do it. Unless you want to be miserable. Oh, that's what we talked about that. Okay, now the next thing, 19 times. You'll never guess what he talked about. Don't do this. Don't criticize, criticism, critical, or criticized. Criticized on page 77, 83, 89, 117, 118, 125, 126, 129, and 145. Don't do it. Criticism, 100, 125, 127, 129, 146. Don't do it. Okay, critical, 13, page, four times. Page 13, 100, 111, 117. Don't do it. Criticize page 106. I'd say I better find another new hobby, huh? Now, number one, somebody says, what is that? Okay. Fault finding. Don't do it on them. Do it on yourself, but not on your, not on others on there. Okay. Now, this next one will really make you sick. Page 15 times. Guess what this is? The word patient, patience, or patiently. Five times, be patient, 61, 90, 105, 112, 118. Patience, page 67, 70, 82, 83, 108, 111, 118, 138, and 163. And patiently, 107 for a total of 15 times. I suppose that's pretty important. Next one, six times, is what not to do. The six, guess what this is? Intolerance. Uh-oh, we're running out of ink. Intolerance, page 50, 103, 120, 135, and 160. It ain't no good for nobody. And intolerant on page 50. Okay. Now, he tells us the exact opposite of that. Okay. Intolerance, so we talked about that about six times. Okay, he talks about 10 times about the opposite. When we need tolerance, page 19, 67, 83, 84, 118, 122, 125, 127, 128, and tells us to be tolerant one time on page 67. Now, this one will really make you puke. You better get your bag out. Number 32. What do you think this one is? Somebody take it. You got it? Love. That's it. Love. 32 times. Love, loves, loving, and loved. Past tense. We're going to go ahead and give them to you. 20 times on love. Page 1, 10, 21, 54, 56, 63, 83, 84, 105, 106, 107, 108, 118, 119, 122, 124, 125, 127, 128, and 153. I suppose that's pretty important, huh? Okay. Loves on page 54 one time. Loving six times. Page 12, 28, 82, 86, 160, 161, and 5 love past tense. Page 54, 105, 106, 107, and 109. And I'm here to tell you, a lot of these are in the parts that we don't want to read. And obviously, that would be to the wives, the family afterwards. And if you think tonight was loaded, wait till you come back next week to the employers. It's gonna, I guarantee you, I promise you, even if you've been here before, it will blow your head off. But a lot of these, what we do and don't do, look at these page numbers, and it's long. A lot of them are long after Chapter 7, Working with Others, and that's what I'm talking about, how much of the program is in this these chapters. Please come back next week, and then we're to the employers, and then after that we have, what somebody said, I didn't say, the best chapter of Vision for you. So, all right, how about if we close with the Lord's Prayer? Thank you. And also, too, we've been praying this set-aside prayer because we've established a lot of us come here with basic knowledge and ideas that prevent us from learning what we need to know. Speak for myself, I know enough about AA and alcoholism to be very dangerous to myself. What I think I know can be a liability and not an asset. So, get rid of the preconceived ideas and the prejudice and everything that we've been talking about from January until now. The set-aside prayer goes as follows. God, please help me set aside everything I think I know about myself, everything I think I know about my disease, everything I think I know about these steps, and everything I think I know especially about you. For an open mind,
a new experience with myself, my disease, these steps, and especially you. And thank you, Scott, for giving me that one. That's out of the ones I know. There's a lot, about a half dozen versions of that, but that one seems to be the most powerful for me. So thank you, Scott, for giving that. Anyhow, what we've established, what we try to do is this book here called The 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. There's an introductory paragraph, I believe, on page 15 that is what we've tried to achieve or what we're looking to get in the mantra statement, mission, goal statement, and it goes as follows. AA's 12 Steps, a group of principles, spiritual in nature, which, if practiced as a way of life, can expel the obsession to drink and enable the sufferer to be happily and usefully whole. And that's what we're all about. We call that a recovered alcoholic, real deal, spiritual recovery. Appendix 2 uses 13 different words for the word change. Anybody notice anything different tonight?
Nothing on the board.
Yeah, nothing on the board. Nothing on the board. Don't think that's going to last. In fact, we're going to get out of the car right now. So, yeah, we're going to close up with just a few numbers. You know what? I always hated math in school. You know, I cheated my way through it. Look what God did to me. You know, I ended up getting in a career where it's almost all numbers. And yeah, sure enough, I got a thing about numbers. And God do what he do, when he do, and how he do it. He just ain't going to stop that train. So, where we're at this evening is... to the employers, I'd like to read two things that Bill wrote, and then I'd like to give you a little history on the author of this chapter. And as I was preparing for it, I was telling somebody earlier, I always knew and I always say that it's from the cover page to where we're at. This chapter tonight is just so powerful. And you'll see for yourself. Anyhow, this was written in a letter that he wrote in 1961. Bill wrote this. It goes this. It is possible for us to use the alleged dishonesty of other people as a plausible excuse for not meeting our own obligations. That means going to work. Okay? Once some prejudiced friends exhorted me never to go back to Wall Street. They were sure that the rampant materialism and the double dealing down there would stunt my spiritual growth. Because this sounded so high-minded, I continued to stay away from the only business that I knew. When, finally, my household went broke, I realized I hadn't been able to face the prospect of going back to work. So I returned to Wall Street, and I have never been so glad that I did. I needed to rediscover that there are many fine people in New York's financial district. Then, too, I needed the experience of staying sober in the very surroundings where alcohol had cut me down. A Wall Street business trip to Akron, Ohio, first brought me face to face with Dr. Bob. So the birth of AA hinged on my effort to meet my bread and butter responsibilities. And he wrote this too, and it's about losing financial fears. And he went to say, when a job still looked like a mere means of getting money rather than an opportunity for service, when the acquisition of money for financial independence looked more important than a right dependence upon God, we were the victims of unreasonable fears. And these were fears which made us... which would make us serene and useful existence at any financial level point impossible. But as time passed, we found out with the help of AA's 12 steps, we could lose those fears no matter what our material prospects were. We could cheerfully perform humble labor without worrying about tomorrow. If our circumstances happened to be good, we no longer dreaded a change for the worse, for we had learned that these troubles could be turned into great values for ourselves and for others. And the experience of mine, all work is honorable if you're paying taxes on it, that is. Come on, y'all. So, yeah, all work is honorable. So, tonight's chapter is the only part of the book that Bill did not write other than the introductory paragraph. It was written by his cohort in this thing called Alcoholics Anonymous, this textbook, and it was written by a guy by the name of Henry, and they used to call him Hank Parkhurst, from New Jersey. His story in the big book was called The Unbeliever. Hank was AA number 3, and he was sober for a while and drank after 3.5 years. If it wasn't for Hank, this book would have never happened. He was as big a hustler or a flim-flam as Bill. He was on the other side of this Works Publishing. Bill was the main author. Hank was the guy who got the editors and got the publishing company and did all the nuts and bolts. And he was a hustler. And here's Hank's story. And it's so important. We owe a debt of gratitude to him. And he taught us a lot of different things. Wait till you see how he wrote this chapter tonight. Like I said, it'll blow your mind. But then also he gave us an example of what happens if you fall off the beam and if you don't take care of business, what can and will happen if you're real alcoholic with a hopeless variety. Anyhow, it goes as follows. Hank was the first man, Bill Wilson, was successful in sobering up after returning from his famous trip to Akron where he met Dr. Bob. Thus, Hank was AA number 2 in New York prior to resuming drinking about 4 years later. His original sobriety date was either October or November of 1935. And here is why Hank was summoned to write this chapter to the employers. He was a salesman, an agnostic, and a former Standard Oil New Jersey executive who had lost his job because of drinking. He had wound up at Towns Hospital, where Bill went through, okay, where Bill found him in the fall of 1935. And Hank is mentioned a couple times in the book. He was mentioned in the doctor's opinion on Roman numeral 29. He is the guy is described to be the case of pathological mental deterioration. Hank later became very paranoid, and Dr. Silkworth warned Bill he might become dangerous. Little did he know that how true that was. He, meaning Hank and Jimmy Burwell, whose story is the vicious cycle, led the fight against too much of God in the AA 12 steps, which resulted in the compromise that he gave Bill, and those words, God as we understood him. We don't know what the history would be if there would be 10 million people in Alcoholics Anonymous instead of 2 million if they didn't say God as we understood him, or maybe there would be 10,000 instead of 2 million. We'll never know, but it's just a fascinating part of our book. Anyhow, Hank had a small business called Honor Dealers in Newark, New Jersey. And obviously, we're going to find out it's mentioned on page 149 tonight. According to one source, he conceived it as a way of getting back at Standard Oil, which fired him. Didn't work out too good. Bill Wilson and Jimmy Burwell worked there for a time, and Bill dictated most of the book to Ruth Hawk in his office. Obviously, Hank is mentioned on page 163, quote, about the guy who was living in a large community. So it's an important part of our textbook. Ruth Hawk said the big book would not have been written without Bill and would have not been published without Hank, like I said. And Hank wrote, except for the opening paragraph, this chapter to employers. Here's what happened. Hank became very hostile toward Bill. Problems developed between them over the way that Hank was setting up Works Publishing Company as a for-profit corporation with him as president. As a result, the feedback came from the group members. Bill listed him as the sole author of the big book as a means of counterbalancing this. So you can see there's trouble on the horizon, a couple egos are clashing, and then you're going to add some two other ingredients, and you're going to have a pot that boils over. What are the other two ingredients? Well, it's going to be this, and then, of course, it's going to be her. There's always a her involved. I jumped the gun. There were other problems over money and over Ruth Hawk. I told you that, okay? Hank wanted to divorce his wife, Kathleen, and marry Ruth, But when Ruth decided to go with Bill, when he moved the A office out of Honor to Dealer, Hank was furious. Bill paid Hank $200 for the office furniture, and obviously didn't get a receipt, and Hank claimed that he didn't give it to him, which had been purchased from him earlier. Anyhow, in exchange for that, Hank turned over his stocks in Work Publishing, as all the others done. Then Hank went to Cleveland to try to start problems for Bill there. And he did. There was a time, well, believe it or not, and we'll try to be as nice as we can about that, but they accused Bill and Dr. Bob of all kinds of scandalous things in Cleveland, Ohio, about making all this money and doing all that. Almost ruined Alcoholics Anonymous, but Bill was able to prove them in with receipts that you're full of baloney. That was 30 miles north of here, almost crucified Dr. Bob and Bill Wilson with the Detroit Alcoholics Anonymous. So, anyhow, it goes on to say, nobody knows exactly when Hank started drinking again, but the diary Lois kept, that's Bill's wife, and we don't know Al Anonymous is ever off on her back, anyhow, kept the various September 1939 entries mentioned that Hank was drunk. He did get back on the program for a short time later, but it didn't last. Nevertheless, AA owes Hank a debt of gratitude for his many contributions during his all-too-short period of sobriety. He died after long illness at Glenwood Sanitarium in Trenton, New Jersey, on January 18, 1954, at the age of 57. That ain't that old for some, anyhow. It says, Lois Wilson ascribed his death to drinking. Funeral services were held Thursday, January 22nd, at Blackwell Memorial Home. Reverend A. Kenneth Manger of the First Presbyterian Church performed the service. At the time of his death, he and his wife Kathleen Nixon Parkhurst, whom he remarried after two failed marriages, almost sounds like he had a marriage problem besides a drinking problem, were living at Washington Cross Road, Pennington, New Jersey. One son, Henry G. Parkhurst Jr., was living in Miranda Beach, Florida. A second son, Robert S. Parkhurst, was living in Pennington. So, as I like to say, there's always, always, always a story behind the story, and most of the time always two, and this is part of getting well in recovery. There's, strange to say, there's usually a motive behind the motive. And that's what we talk about, trying to thine own self be true. Anyhow, let's see what this chapter has for us tonight. And like I said, as I was preparing for this evening, this would be chapter 10. Okay. This chapter rivals chapter 7, Working with Others, and it's not only for the employers, but it's for us family members, and especially for the alcoholic. Some of the best stuff for recovery, and the steps are in this chapter, and it's labeled to the employer. Okay, so obviously it goes on to say this, and Bill wrote this part. Among many employers today, we think one member who spent much of his life in the world of big business. He has hired and fired hundreds of men. He knows the alcoholic as the employer sees him.
Uh-oh, that may not be too good.
His present views ought to prove exceptionally useful to businessmen everywhere, but let him tell you. So, obviously, we find that the purpose of the chapter is useful for businessmen, but we find it invaluable or priceless for us alcoholics, because everything from January the first Wednesday till tonight comes alive. Everything that's in the book from the doctor's opinion and all these chapters will be used tonight. Absolutely fascinating that he was able to do this. Anyhow, he goes on to say, I was a one-time assistant manager of a corporation department employing 6,600 men. That's 6,600 guys. That's a lot of people. Big business. And that obviously, like I said, was Standard Oil. And at that time, Standard Oil was the biggest company in the world. Standard Oil, Rockefeller, we know about that. So there's all kinds of threads that it's intertwined. Absolutely fascinating that it worked out the way it did. One day, my secretary came in saying that Mr. B insisted on speaking with me. I told her to say that I was not interested. I warned him several times that he had but one chance. Not long afterward, he called me from Harvard on two successive days, so drunk he could hardly speak. I told him he was through finally forever. So obviously, we're going to start to see that Mr. B there had the allergy of the body, the phenomenon of craving. Once he started drinking, he couldn't stop. And we reached the point in time what we're talking about in working with others and about the pitiful, incomprehensible demoralization, step one. Let's see what happens. A lot of people die, don't get it there, and it goes as follows. My secretary returned to say that it was not Mr. B on the phone, it was Mr. B's brother, and he wished to give me a message. I still expected a plea for clemency, but these words came through the receiver. I just wanted to tell you that Paul jumped from the hotel window in Hartford last Sunday. He left us a note saying you were the best boss he ever had and no way you were to blame. Remember in the doctor's opinion, Roman numeral 18, rather than fight again, make the supreme sacrifice. Remember we established with alcoholism, you've got three treatments. One of them's the drink. When that don't work, door number two, do the deal. By a special awakening spiritual experience, door number three is to take your life. Here's an example of that. Obviously, three treatments for alcoholism, and he would not do the other one. Remember, sobriety, untreated alcoholism, in the doctor's opinion, the spiritual malady, restless, irritable, discontent, and page 52, and this guy couldn't take it no more and jumped out the window. For what it's worth, more alcoholics commit suicide when they're not drinking than when they are. So that's how powerful this alcoholism is. Remember, it's a matter of life and death. Okay? So, he goes on to say, another time I opened the letter which lay on my desk and this paper clipping fell out. Is an obituary of one of the best salesmen I ever had. After 2 weeks of drinking, he placed his toe on the trigger of a loaded shotgun. The barrel was in his mouth. I discharged him drinking for 6 weeks before. Ooh. Remember what the folks said earlier? Pursue it to the gates of insanity or death. Everything that we talked about, two examples fleshes out. Now, after 2 weeks of drinking, did he know what he was doing or not? This thing all the time in the blackouts. Guess what? You could be doing that with a shotgun and, that would be your final blackout, wouldn't it? Okay, still another experience, all right? So, obviously, remember, is this odd or is it God? He said he does everything at least three times in this book. Isn't it something that is three times in the book? He's going to give us an example. It says a woman's voice came from faintly over long distance from Virginia. She wanted to know if her husband's company insurance was still in force 4 days before he hanged himself in his woodshed. I've been obliged to discharge him for drinking, though he was brilliant, alert, one of the best organizers I've ever known. Once again, all of them lost their life by their own hands rather than fight again.
Came from faintly over a long distance from Virginia. She wanted to know if her husband's company insurance was still in force 4 days before he hanged himself in his woodshed. I've been obliged to discharge him for drinking, though he was brilliant, alert, one of the best organizers I've ever known. Once again, all of them lost their life by their own hands rather than fight again, make the sacrifice. Obviously, this is a matter of life and death. He goes on to say, here were three exceptional men lost to the world because I did not understand alcoholism as I do now. What irony, I became an alcoholic of myself. So, you can see that this guy had self-knowledge, fear, willpower. Remember everything that we're talking about in Bill's story and all throughout. Obviously, he was using all that, and he ended up becoming an alcoholic himself, okay? And it said, had it not been for the intervention of an understanding person, I may have followed in their footsteps. That means he would have dissed himself, too. Suicide, that's what the footsteps are there. My downfall cost the business community unknown thousands of dollars. And you better believe it, if this guy was that high up in Standard Oil with 6,600 people, He was burning money like a drunken sailor, especially if it wasn't his money. For it takes real money to train a man for an executive position. This kind of waste. Now, what's he talking about? Dollars and cents or talking about human lives? Both. This kind of waste, okay, goes on unabated. We think the business fabric is shot through with a situation which might have been helped by better understanding all around. So obviously you're trying to inform a lot of people, including ourselves and the family members and, of course, to the employers, the business world. He goes on to explain what he just said. Isn't that absolutely fascinating? Follows the same format the way Bill did. Nearly every modern employer feels a moral responsibility for the well-being of his help, and he tries to meet these responsibilities. We were just talking about that. That means they use a clean, brand-new meat grinder to grind you up these days. Anyhow, I said it. Yeah, if you're working, you know what I'm talking about. Okay. That he is not always, that he has not always done so for the alcoholic is easily understood. To him, the alcoholic often seemed the fool of the first magnitude. Isn't that nice? That's a nice way of calling us. That's what non-alcoholic thinks of us. Fool of the first magnitude. That's pretty cool, huh? That's a step up, right? It says because the employee's special ability or because of his own strong personal attachment to him, the employer has sometimes kept such a man at work beyond a reasonable period. So obviously, most employers want good for employees. Employers don't understand the alcoholic, but many times will go far above and beyond, even though we are thought about the fool of the first magnitude. He goes on, some employers have tried every known remedy. And that, thank God, or God bless my boss, he did every unknown remedy. He'd have me come in late. He'd have me come early. Put me on probation. Give my paycheck to my wife. Threaten me, hug me, kiss me, kick my ass. He did it all. Guess what? I placed myself beyond human aid. His heart was in the right place, but he just didn't know what he had. Personal friend, knew my wife, knew my four children. This guy went to hell and back for me until the end when he had to do what he had to do. So, anyhow, and it says, tried every known remedy. Only in a few instances, there had been a lack of patience and tolerance. Oh, my God, wait a minute. I think we talked about that. Last week, patience and tolerance. Obviously, buy the CDs and get the numbers and the pages last week because we ain't going to do it again. So anyhow, we're trying, Bob. Anyhow, and we have imposed on the best employers, could scarcely blame them if they've been short with us. Makes a statement, and then bingo, here you go. He's going to explain and give you an example. Like I said, case closed with this. So obviously, most employers have been patient and tolerant, can't blame them. If they get their undies in a bunch, obviously, we need to go with here. He goes, here, for instance, is a typical example. An officer of one of the largest banking institutions, and that was Frank Winnes, okay, knows I no longer drink. One time he told me about an executive of a bank, obviously, from whose description was undoubtedly alcoholic. This was somebody by the name of Bob E. Okay. This seemed to me like an opportunity to be helpful, so I spent 2 hours talking about alcoholism, the malady, and described the symptoms, the results the best that I could. He didn't say I talked about drinking too much and getting in trouble. Didn't talk about all the things that we were talking about. Talked about the malady. Sick in body, mind, and soul. Everything that we've had before. 2 hours. Not 10 minutes. Not 2 minutes. 2 hours. I mean, he gave it all to him. I don't know. Can somebody last for 2 hours? Okay. And it goes on to say, he commenced very interesting. This is non-alcoholic, okay? But I'm sure this man is done drinking. He has just returned from 3 months leave of absence, has taken the cure, looks fine. And to clinch that matter, the board of directors told him that this was his last chance. This guy is screwed already. You know why? You know why? Remember, doctor's opinion, Roman numeral 26, frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. From you and from me. Don't tell me you're going to fire me. I'll drink. Don't tell me that you're going to divorce me. I'll drink twice. Don't tell me I'm going to die. all that, it don't work. It don't work. Remember, alcoholic doesn't remember what alcohol did to them, only what it did for them. Spiritual malady, restless, irritable discontent, gives me the sense of ease and comfort a few drinks bring. So everything, remember what I said, everything is coming alive in this book. So let's see what happens when this guy got it. Okay, and it says, the only answer I could make that this man was going to, that if this man followed the usual pattern, he would go on a bigger bust than ever. I felt this was inevitable and wondered if the bank was not doing the man injustice. Because obviously he told him about the allergy, the obsession, the insanity. Obviously he told him about the program, the results, and so on and so forth. And the guy just would not get it. So he goes on to say, why not bring him in contact with some of our alcoholic crowd? He might have a chance. I pointed out that I had nothing to drink whatever for 3 years. And in the face of difficulties, it would make 9 out of 10 men drink their heads off. Why not at least afford him an opportunity to hear my story? Oh, no, said my friend. This chap is either through with liquor or he's minus a job. You better get the pink slip out right now, okay? If he has your willpower and guts, he will make the grade. See, the guy just don't get it about what alcoholism is and isn't, and understandably so. And you know what? You'd be surprised that undertone kind of crap is thrown around in here. We're killing people. Okay. So, yeah, like you just don't want it. Okay, is that right? Okay. So you can read minds too, can you? Okay. Then you can read my mind, kiss my what? Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Yeah. So it says, I wanted to throw up my hands in discouragement, for I saw that I failed to help my banker friend understand. Okay. He simply could not believe that this brother executive suffered from a serious illness. Okay, there was nothing to do but wait. Okay, obviously, malady, illness, obviously to use to describe alcoholism. And we're going to find out what maybe the non-alcoholic describes alcoholism too. Presently, the man did slip and was fired. Following his discharge, we, and particularly Bill, contacted him. Without much ado, he accepted the principles, the 12 steps, and the procedure, the directions. That's right. That's what we've been doing from now until then, from January till now. I get it. The principles, the 12 steps, and the procedure, the directions. That's what we're doing in this book. Let's see what happened. That has helped us. He undoubtedly is on the road to recovery. Not just drinking. He's on the way to getting better. To me, this incident illustrates the lack of understanding as to what really ails the alcoholic and the lack of knowledge as to what part employers might profitably take in salvaging their sick employees. Isn't that beautiful? He's talking about alcoholism, the malady. He's talking about illness, and then he uses the word sick. Okay. Now, it goes on to say, if you desire to help, it might be well to disregard your own drinking or lack of it. Whether you're a hard drinker or a moderate drinker. Page 21, remember that real alcoholic thing? That's where we got that. Remember I said from page 21 to 164, real alcoholic, got to have it, where we're at right tonight. Or a teetotaler, you may have some pretty strong opinions, perhaps prejudice. There he is again about those old ideas. It'll keep us sick. That's why we do that set-aside prayer. What we think we know is what we got to get rid of because it's blocking us from where we need to go with this. Okay, and he goes on to say, those who drink moderately may be more annoyed with an alcoholic than a total abstainer would be. That's because we're better than them, right? Mm-hmm. And he goes on to say, drinking occasionally and understanding your own reactions, it is possible for you to become quite sure of many things, which so far as an alcoholic is concerned, are not always so. As a moderate drinker, you can take liquor or leave it alone. I'll be damned. Real alcoholic, page 21. If I can stop or moderate, I'm not a real alcoholic. Remember page 44, the two questions? If I can moderate, I ain't got that allergy. I can have a drink or two or four or whatever and be done. If I'm not alcoholic, I can stop. Given sufficient reason, but if I am, here it is. Again, look where he's putting it. Look where he's putting it for us alcoholics, okay? So, and it says, of an evening, you can go a mile better, get up in the morning, shake your head, and go to business. To you, alcohol is no real problem. He cannot see why it should be to anyone else save the spineless and stupid. Oh, man, I'm loving it now. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, now we'll see what else they think about as alcoholics. When dealing with an alcoholic, there may be a natural annoyance a man could be so weak, stupid, and irresponsible. Okay. So, now you can see, obviously, five descriptions of an alcoholic. Spineless, stupid, weak, stupid, irresponsible. Yeah. I'm insulted, okay? Now, it goes on to say, that's what non-alcoholics, now listen to what this alcoholic says about us. Now, let's see which one you want to be. A look at alcoholic in your organization, irresponsible, even when you understand the malady, obviously the illness, the sickness, the malady of alcoholism better, you may feel this rising. A look at your alcoholic in your organization is many times an illuminating. You can tell an alky wrote this, not an L9. Is he not brilliant, fast-thinking, imaginative, and likable? All right, let's go, man. Okay, now, you won't find that as a topic at an Al-Anon meeting. The alcoholic, brilliant, fast-thinking, imaginative, and likable. That's a lie. The word lovable, we ain't just likable, right? Come on, y'all. Okay, so, when sober, does he not work hard and have a knack of getting things done? You know, see, you put a question mark on that. What? Okay. If he had these qualities and did not drink, would he be worth retaining? Should he have the same consideration of other ailing employees? I love it. Now, we're getting a little bit serious now. We're talking about illness, sick. Okay. Now we're talking about ailing. Is he worth salvaging? If your decision is yes, whether you're the reason be humanitarian or business, both, then you can. Then the following suggestions may be helpful. So obviously, you ask yourself those five questions. If others had the same good traits as the alcoholic, would you save them too? Okay. Can you disregard the feeling that you are dealing with only a habit with stubbornness or a weak will? Uh-oh. If this presents difficulty, rereading, look what he's done. He's hooked the employer now. I mean, you got this book and you got to reread it. Maybe you read it. Okay, rereading what? Chapter 2 and 3. What is chapter 2 about? Oh, that's right. There is a solution. Now, I'll be damned. He's telling employer, non-alcoholic, you better reread it. We really better read it and know what it is. Oh, what's chapter 3? That's right. More about alcoholism or the insanity. Now, how powerful is that? Remember, like I said, everything that we have coming alive, okay? We're the alcoholic sickness, okay? We're talking about ailing, sickness. We're talking about sick. We're talking about illness. We're talking about malady. Beautiful is discussed at length and might be worthwhile. You as a businessman want to know the necessities before considering the result, okay? If you concede that your employee is ill, another beautiful description of alcoholism, can he be forgiven what he's done in the past? Can his past absurdities be forgotten? Can it be appreciated that he's been a victim of crooked thinking? I love that, okay? Directly caused by the action of alcohol on his brain. Four more questions you need to ask yourself. And you know what? You'd be surprised of us in the business world that are in the position of management and dealing with non-alcoholics or dealing with alcoholics. It's a tough place to be, brother. Because guess what? I got an obligation to that company. No, it's not what I want to do. I got to answer the man. It's his sandbox. I am an employee in the sandbox. I do what you do. It's your company, not mine. It's an awkward position to be on this side, a recovered alcoholic, having to deal with that. If you've had the pleasure or displeasure, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Anyhow, he goes on to say, I well remember the shock when a prominent doctor in Chicago, that is Dan Kroske, that's C-R-A-S-K-E, obviously, in Chicago, told me of a case where the pressure spinal fluid actually ruptured the brain. No wonder the alcoholic is strangely irrational. In other words, you're effing crazy. Yeah, that's what that means. Okay, I love that, okay? Crooked thinking and strangely irrational. Okay, all right? And it says, normal drinkers, Page 21, real alcoholic are not so affected, nor can they understand the aberrations of an alcoholic. What is an aberration of an alcoholic? Oh, yeah. See, remember I from the beginning? Going to need this to page 164. Aberration is deviation from what is right, true, and normal. And this is probably more appropriate for the alcoholic. Mental derangement. I like that. Yes, I like that. So, it says, your man has probably been trying to conceal a number of scrapes, perhaps pretty messy ones. They may be disgusting. Now you're talking, all right? Now, it goes on, you may be at loss to understand how a seemingly bored, above chap can be so involved, but these scrapes can generally be charged, no matter how bad, to the abnormal reaction of alcohol on his mind. When drinking or getting over about, an alcoholic sometimes is a model of honesty. When normal, will do incredible things. So obviously, we talk about the alcoholic crooked thinking, strangely irrational. Sometimes we're thought as a habit, stubbornness, and weak will. Look at where he's putting all this stuff in the employer. This could be to the family afterwards, the chapter of the wives. That's how the world views us. It's important that I need to understand that some people just don't get it. And understandably so. Okay. Now it goes on to say, afterwards, the revulsion will be terrible. Nearly always, these antics indicate nothing more than a temporary condition. Obviously, we talked about that. Alcoholic, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Things that the alcoholic employee will do and how it affects him and why. Even this chapter so far, we mentioned the book twice so far. You might want to get your pencil out because it's going to start taking a life on its own. So, that is to say, this is not to say that all alcoholics are honest and upright when not drinking. No kidding. Whatever you do, don't leave your wallet unattended around here, man. I got news for you. I tell you that. Real quick, this is a good story. Go to an AA meeting. You know, just like tonight. I got to kind of hit him. Got these keys here. Okay, so I put the keys up there. Time for me to go, and I look. I said, where? Those keys are gone. I knew I put them right there. And I started freaking because we were about two hours away. It was in a different state. It was in that state east of here that will remain anonymous. I turned about ways or whatever. I was going to have to call my wife and say, would you drive to Pittsburgh and bring me a set of keys? That would have gone over real good, let me tell you. So we put an SOS out in the crowd. Anybody see a set of keys? This lady about four rows back, oh, these keys, they got your 28-year medallion? I just happened to have them right here. Now, what the heck? Yeah, she came up and took them. I mean, come on. They did not get off that table and go four rows back. She had to come up and get them and take them away. Don't leave your stuff laying around in AA meeting, unless you want to get rid of it, I suppose, if you want to do that. So, yeah. All right, yeah. Not a model of honesty. Okay, that's right. Okay. All right, that's right. Okay. Of course, that isn't so, and such people may impose on you. Seeing your attempt to understand and help, some men will try to take advantage of your kindness. Yes, indeed. Some men will try to take advantage of your kindness. If you are sure your man does not want to stop, he may be as well discharged. Okay, now he's telling you right from the get-go, not pulling any punches. He doesn't say give that old alky just one more time. He says give him the boot right then. The sooner, the better, okay? You are not doing him a favor by keeping him on. Firing such an individual may prove a blessing to him. It may be just the jolt that he needs. Obviously, the only thing worse than good luck for an alcoholic is, or the only thing worse than bad luck for the alcoholic is good luck, and that is able to hold on your job. If the employee doesn't want to quit, it may be better to fire him sooner. That way you can help bring up that pitiful, incomprehensible demoralization. It goes on to say, I know in my own particular case that nothing my company would have done, could have done, would have stopped me for long, so as long as they were able to hold my position. That's real simple. Why would an alcoholic quit drinking? If you can have your cake and eat it too, we'd all be out drinking if we could, right? You can't safely use alcohol. That's why we're all here. Yes. Yes. It's called the Losers Club. But we find out we're actually winners here, right? Yeah, everything is backwards on what the things appear. Everything. Not some, not most, not a lot, not quite a few. Everything is backwards. And he goes on to say, had this stopped me for long as I was able to hold my position, I could not possibly realize how serious my situation was. Had they fired me first and had they taken the steps to see that I was presented with the solution contained in this book, I'll be damned. The solution in this book. It's not 90 meetings in 90 days. It's not get a home group and fake it till you make it and get three sponsors and my psychiatrist and my counselor and all that stuff. The solution contained in this book. Everything from January till now. Look where he put it. I might have returned to them six months later, a dry man. No, a well recovered. Remember, we went great lengths, recovery versus sobriety, so on and so forth. There are many men who want to stop. With them, you can go far. Your understanding, treatment in their cases will pay dividends. So obviously, the solution is this program, the 12 Steps, and Almighty God, the spiritual awakening, spiritual experience. Okay, and it goes on to say, perhaps you have such a man in mind. He wants to quit drinking and you want to help him, even though it's a matter of good business. You now know more about alcoholism. You can see that he is mentally and physically sick. Okay, obviously and spiritually sick. Mentally and physically sick. So obviously you would have to read the book because you read the book because you know more about alcoholism. Okay, and it says you are willing to overlook the past performances. Such an approach is made something like this. Isn't that cool? He makes a statement and then he tells you, here's what you do. Okay, he goes on like that. State that you know about his drinking and that it must stop. Not sure it could, ought to. You might say you appreciate his abilities and would like to keep him, but you cannot if he continues to drink. A firm attitude at this point may be helpful. So he tells us what to do and he tells us what we shouldn't do. And obviously he goes on to say more suggestions on how to deal with the alcoholic employee. Two sets of ideas. It says, next, he can be assured that you do not intend to lecture, moralize, or condemn, that if that was done in the past, it was because of misunderstanding. If possibly express a lack of hard feelings toward him. At this point, it may be well to explain alcoholism, the illness. Okay, isn't that something? He's telling the employer to tell the employee. We sure in the hell better know what the illness, the sickness, the malady, what alcoholism is, and the recovery therefrom. Everything from cover page to this page right now. Okay, it might be well explained the alcoholism. Say that you believe that he is gravely, that's a matter of life and death, ill. Perhaps with his qualifications being perhaps fatally ill. Telling the non-alcoholic to tell us. We better get a concept or a grasp on this, okay? Perhaps fatally ill. Does he want to get well? It didn't say to quit drinking, obviously. Now it goes on to say this. You ask because many alcoholics being warped and drugged do not want to quit, but does he? Will he take every, not some, not most, not a lot, not quite a few, necessary step? Oh, these steps, God, get rid of self and alcohol. Submit to anything, the 12 steps, this book, to get well, to stop drinking forever. It doesn't say one day at a time. It doesn't say till you get your court paper beat or your court case, till you get the ex-old lady paid off to whatever you're getting and whatever you're in here for. Told you about that survey. When you do a sobriety countdown, why is it so lopsided? Why is it so lopsided? And you'll notice it the next time you do it. You work down. There's a big difference between 1 and 5 years. After 5 years, it drops off. It's real simple. After 5 years, one or two things happen to you. This is why you don't come back. Well, I did all this, and I got all that stuff back. I got him. I got her. I got that job. I got whatever. I don't need AA. Or the ones that put the plug in the jug and have been able to last it for 5 years. Their life sucks and it's worse than ever before because that's all they're doing. They say, this AA don't work. I ain't coming back. And you'll see that gap as it goes for a lot of reasons. Absolutely fascinating that you do that. Next time they do a countdown, sit down and look at the gap as it goes on there. Okay, now it says forever. Okay, now remember on page 90, the two questions about that. Let's go back to see that. Yeah, we're in good shape. Remember the two questions on page 90. What are they? Actually, there's all kinds of suggestions on there. We're going to go ahead and pull these out. If he wants to quit for good, not for a day at a time, for good forever, what he just got done talking about, and would you be willing to go to any extreme to do so? That's this book, These 12 Steps. I'll be damned, you just said the same thing there. Will submit to anything to get well, to stop drinking forever. Says the same thing. Remember chapter 7, working with others? Told you it's this chapter here. Now he's telling the non-alcoholic to tell the alcoholic. So, buddy, you better believe we better have it right here, because those are the two questions. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Okay. If he says yes, does he really mean it? Or down inside, do you think he's fooling you? That after rest of treatment, he'll be able to get away with a few drinks now and then. We believe a man should be thoroughly probed on these points, be satisfied he's not deceiving himself or you. Whether you mention this book, fourth time, is a matter of your discretion. If he temporizes, still thinks he can ever drink again, even beer, he might as well be discharged after the next bender if an alcoholic, which is almost certain to have. Third time, he tells you, fire him. Okay. Now it goes on to say, he should understand that emphatically. Either you're dealing with a man who can and will get well, recover, not quit drinking, or you're not. Oh, no gray area there, okay. If not, why waste time with him? This may seem severe, but it's usually the best course. In other words, fire him, okay. After satisfying yourself that your man wants to recover, not just drink, but recover from alcoholism, and that he will go to any extreme to do so. God, how much power is in this for you and I? The extreme are these 12 steps, okay? This book, Spiritual Awakening, Spiritual Experience. Three times on this page, okay? For most alcoholics who are drinking or are just getting over a spree, a certain amount of physical treatment is desirable, even imperative. Talked about that in working with others. The matter of physical treatment should, of course, be referred to your own doctor. Whatever the method, its object is to thoroughly clear mind and body of the effects of alcohol. In competent hands, this seldom takes long or is very expensive.